The following podcast is presented by Wellspring of Life Church, a community of faith, hope, and purpose.
We serve a big God, don't we? We serve a very big God. As Matt was talking and Marilyn was talking, our God is bigger than a hurricane, a fire, a flood, a death. Our God can take care of everything as long as we give it to him. I have heard so many stories on Caleb and read so many things about the flood in Houston. It is amazing. Our God works no matter what is going on. No matter the trial that we're in, no matter what is going on around us, our God is always working. Always working. Well, good evening. I'm glad I get to pinch hit tonight. Kind of come in from the bullpen. I'm glad that Pastor Dave has some extra people in the bullpen that can come in and fill in so he can go take a break, because I would not want to do this job full time. After preparing for a while, I'm very glad that Pastor Dave does this and I do what I do. So if you would open your Bibles to James 3, please. James 3. Have any of you ever been hurt by something that someone has said to you? I guarantee all of us has in here. And if we say no, then I think we'd be lying. Lying to ourselves, lying to the person who asked the question. Let me flip that over now. Have you ever said something that hurt someone by what we used for words, either on purpose or on accident? Our words make a huge difference in people's lives, negative and positive. Our spoken words are very powerful. Apart from the redeeming work of Christ, we will only do harm with our words. We need wisdom from above to use our words wisely. Our words also reveal the state of our hearts. It says in Scripture that out of the heart, out of the abundance of the heart, outflows our mouth, correct? Time and again, the Scriptures address the tongue, that little thing in our mouth that seems to never get tired. How many times have you done something, been totally exhausted? Oh, I just can't move. I just want to go to bed. I just want to sit down and do nothing. Do we ever get tired of talking? It was used in Cleansing Stream when they said that, and I just keep thinking over and over and over again, our tongue never gets tired. Never. We just keep talking, talking and talking. When we consider the words of Jesus in Matthew 12:34, "You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks." We see why the tongue is given such extensive treatment. How we handle the tongue is a great indicator of our hearts before God. Before I found Christ, July 23rd, 2009, I had a very wicked mouth. Not in the sense when I was cursing. Not in the sense that I was back-talking and gossiping. But the people that I cared most about, I hurt the most. My wife, my family, my friends. After I found Christ, I learned how to let our loving God control my speech and to really think about what came out of my mouth before I opened it. I want to show you a little illustration here. Once again, this came from Cleansing Stream, but I think it's very powerful. So this is Crest, but this is going to be our words, okay? So it's going to be our words. I'm going to take a little bit of our words and put them on this plate. So we have a word here, a couple words, and then a longer word down there. Everybody can see that okay? So now I've put our words out there for everybody to see. Now, I'd like a volunteer to come up here and put all of this toothpaste back in this tube. It's kind of unreasonable, isn't it? But that's how our words can be. Once our words are out there, it's very hard to pull them back. It's very hard to go back and unring the bell. Kind of like when somebody fires a weapon, you better be very sure where that round, that projectile is going. So when you're brushing your teeth tonight or in the morning, think about our words. Think about the illustration. I was reading in preparing for this and came across something that I found very interesting. Aesop, in Aesop Fables, he shares a helpful fable to illustrate this point. Once upon a time, a donkey found a lion's skin. He tried it on, strutted around, and frightened many animals. Soon a fox came along, and the donkey tried to scare him. But the fox, hearing the donkey's voice, said, "If you want to terrify me, you'll have to disguise your bray." Aesop's moral: clothes may disguise a fool, but his words will give him away. And lots of scriptures in the Bible about a fool is a very hard person to get through, and a fool speaks many, many words. Our words give us away. In James 3, 1 through 12, we see that the tongue has power, that it is by nature hypocritical, and that can only be transformed from above. From the words of Charles Spurgeon, "I would go to the deeps 100 times to cheer a downcast spirit. It is good for me to have been afflicted that I might know how to speak a word in season to one that is weary." God works in mysterious ways. From the time before I was saved at 40 years old, he was preparing me to speak to people. I've been in law enforcement almost 21 years now, and you catch more bees with honey than vinegar. When I can get down with that person and build rapport with them and get on their same level, I really can connect with them. I can find out what's going on with them. But once again, before I was saved, I was not being that man. I was not connecting with my family, my friends, my children, the way I was supposed to. But when we allow Christ into our heart, into our lives, in every aspect of our lives, he will transform our words. My gift is exhortation. My wife and I's gift are both share exhortation. Imagine that. I'm an encourager. I love to see the positive of things. The glass is always half full. I love to see the positive in things. Hopefully I don't become that negative person. I love to be positive. I hope I'd hear the same feedback from you guys. He's okay. He's pretty positive. We must know the power of the tongue. So starting in James 3, verse 1, "Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships, for example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but makes great boast. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire." Verse 6, "The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is self set on fire by hell." Verse 7, "All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Most people want to be heard. What better way to be heard as a believer than to teacher of the gospel? Yet James urges us to consider the power of the tongue. We must not be hasty in propelling ourselves into a position where the tongue is constantly used. It is powerful and as such will incur a stricter judgment. I read that and I'm like, oh great, I'm preaching tonight. Perfect. That's fantastic. But what a great eye-opener. What a great challenge for us to speak those words of encouragement, to use our tongue for good and not for evil. Control the tongue, control the man. James argues from greater to lesser in verse 2. If one can control their tongue, then they will be able to control the rest of their body as well. And once again, illustrated in verse 3, when it says, when we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. And then in verse 4 is illustrated by the ships, or take ships for example. Although they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Has anybody seen a very large ship? The rudder is not very big. They're pretty small. We saw some really large boats at Lake Powell, and they're pretty small to get that whole boat turned, and they are very, very small. Once again, I think our tongue is very small, but can cause a lot of damage or speak a lot of encouragement. Big things come from the tiny tongue. As illustrated by a wildfire in verse 5, we need to start putting out fires, not going around starting them. So I thought about the fires in California, Montana. I think we read on the internet there are 82 uncontrolled fires right now that have no containment whatsoever. And as last week, as we saw, the haze in the valley made for very nice sunrises and sunsets, but I can't imagine battling those fires and living in that area. My brother lives in San Bernardino, Southern California. I pray for him every time they get a fire up there in the Isuzu, San Bernardino area, that he does not lose his house and they lose their family. So once again, in your quiet time, in your prayer time, this is our church here. We act locally, but our prayers go out globally. So make sure you keep those people in prayer as you're praying. Words can build or destroy. Better than anything else, the tongue displays the state of our hearts. Humanity alone cannot control the tongue. We must seek and listen to the Holy Spirit when it comes to the use of our tongue. If James left us right there, this would be a miserable message, wouldn't it? The tongue is a deadly poison that no man can stop. Thank God we are not left to ourselves to handle our tongue. And I thank God for that each and every day, that I'm able to rely on Him to control my tongue. Because it can be an hourly battle, a daily battle, whenever we open our mouth battle. We must know the hypocrisy of the tongue. The powerful tongue can be used for great good or great evil. Apart from redemption, it will only tear down and destroy. Perhaps better than anything else, the tongue reveals the already, but not yet, of Christian sanctification. The tongue can worship or curse. Once again, verse 9. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. So when I'm gossiping or when I'm not honoring God, talking about someone else if they're not right there with me, they're made in God's likeness just like we are. And as I'm telling you this and sharing this to you, I'm telling it myself also. This was very deep-rooted. And you learn a lot about yourself when you prepare to speak to someone else. This hypocrisy should not be the case. Verse 10 and 10 through 12. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. What a great worship. I haven't heard that first song we did. But when death was arrested, my life began. Wow. Powerful, powerful words. Powerful words that we spoke when we worship to the creator of the universe. When we worship, I underestimate the power of my words when I worship God. What great songs this time, guys. What a great worship team we have, and we're so blessed to have them be able to do that for us, because I can't do it. No way. In those last few verses, it says James is not saying this, saying that they are unbelievers because of their hypocrisy. Note that he says, my brothers. James is saying that such deception is inconsistent with a life redeemed by Christ. So if we are praising and cursing out of the same mouth, we're being a hypocrite. I was being a hypocrite one time, not even knowing it, and my wife reminded me of that in a very nice way. I'm so glad I have such a good relationship with my wife and with my friends and family that they can speak into my life and they can say, that didn't sound very good. Did you realize what you said? And then the redeeming love of Christ for me to be able to accept that criticism and go, wow, that was really bad. And then taking the next step and going and asking for forgiveness for the person that we hurt. Believers ought to be growing more consistent in their God-honoring, Holy Spirit-inspired speech. I got assigned to the college a little over about a month ago. Got to see Taylor in the library. Got to see a lot of people that I've recognized from around town. And once again, with my praying background and my relationship with Christ, cleansing stream, this church, I am able to use those words on a college campus that so direly needs Jesus. Now, there's pockets of Christian teachers, professors, kids out there. But the speech that I hear, the clothes that I see, God has got to be heartbroken. Absolutely heartbroken. But he has placed me there to be able to walk through those classrooms and pray. To be able to walk through that plaza and pray. To be able to find those kids that are listening to Building 429, Skillet, Toby Mac. And they're there. Didn't realize that until I finally stopped and started listening, but they're there. But what a great preparation for me to be able to go to the college and be able to share. I've been more bold in the college than I've been in my whole career. I might be dumping trash here after a while because they start hearing about that, but we'll see. But I'm not going to take my foot off the gas. I'm going to keep going. Having the right word at the right time is precious and beautiful. As you turn your heart to the Lord, you can always find the right word. He is always, always ready to speak and to encourage you in your walk with him. I know that sometimes I can get very, very busy. And I think I'm praying to him. I think I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. But I found out I'm not listening enough. It's a two-way conversation when you pray to God. We don't just throw up prayers, ask for things, and then go on our way. We have to be patient. We're the microwave generation. Put the popcorn in. Let's go. Come on, let's go. Our prayers go up. Come on. Come on, Lord. Let's see the results. Let's see what you're doing. Let's get in the fight. Let's take care of that. So once again with this, I've learned patience. Not the patience that Job was tested with, but patience just to sit and wait on what the Holy Spirit and our holy God wants to say to us and how he wants to say it to us. Proverbs 25:11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Ephesians 4:29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for the building up of others according to their needs, that it may benefit to those who listen. And that's where Building 429 gets their band name from, out of Ephesians 4:29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Matthew 12:36. But I tell you that everyone will have to give account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. Oh, another one of those. I'm like, Lord, every word, every word. I have some repenting to do. I have some asking for forgiveness to do. Proverbs 15:1. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Boy, some people love to live in that state of drama and disarray and love to stir things up. Those people are very hard to be around. They are very constantly demanding. You see that person and you're like, oop, see ya. I'll go this way. But I feel bad for those people. I feel for those people and I pray for those people because they want to keep everything stirred up. Because I don't think they want to look directly at themselves in the mirror and see what they're battling against, see what they're fighting against. Aesop was correct. Our speech governs our lives and displays the state of our hearts. I would like you to think about these next couple questions just for a minute, please. Question number one. What does your tongue reveal about your heart right now? What does your tongue reveal about your heart right now? Question number two. Are you increasingly maturing in your speech? Or do you find your tongue a restless evil that you cannot control? Are you increasingly maturing in your speech? Or do you find your tongue a restless evil that you cannot control? As I was preparing for this and praying for this, this sounds like could be a message of desperation and a message of condemnation when we go back and start taking an account of the words that we've spoken to people, our spouses, our friends, our neighbors, anyone. Do not let conviction lead to condemnation when you review what we talked about today. It's a message of hope. Every word's a new word. Well, that's prophetic, isn't it? Every breath is a new breath. You can never get too far away from God. Never. We will never be snatched out of his hand. I would ask you right now just to just bow your heads in prayer to this for a minute, please. Dear Heavenly Father, right now, I would just ask that you remind us of a time that we might have spoke a careless word to someone. Right now, Lord God, I am just sensing that this is going to stir up in our spirit forgiveness we need to ask for. Lord God, bring that person to the front of our mind right now. Maybe that person doesn't even know it. Maybe that person has no idea or did not take it the way we thought that we spoke it. So right now, Lord God, just quiet our minds and stir up our soul right now and bring that person, whether it be a name, a face, a location, Lord God, bring that person to us right now. And when that person is their face, name, Lord, help us to be strong and courageous to go out and to talk to that person. I don't know what that looks like, a phone call, a letter, a face-to-face conversation. But Lord God, do not let that be the hurdle that gets between us and you, Lord God. No obstacle, no barrier in between our walk with you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. James has taught us that apart from Christ, such an encouragement is impossible. Redeemed speech and wisdom only come from the work of our Redeemer. Let us cast ourselves on the mercy of our Redeemer and pray that he will continue his work of removing the non-Jesus words that occasionally flow from our mouths. When you guys go home tonight, do some reflection. Do some observation. Do some inventory. I've heard it explained that when you have bitterness towards someone else, it's like me drinking poison, waiting for the other person to die. But Lord God, I thank Jesus every day for the mouth that I have and to be able to encourage those people.
Thank you for listening to this message by Wellspring of Life Church in Western Colorado. If you'd like to learn more about our community, please visit Wellspring.